great to see you here. It's good with the colds. At least none of you guys will be falling asleep. Look, since we don't do a topic on spiritual kind of warfare and kind of looking at spiritual forces too often in church, let's have a question time afterwards. Not that I'm an expert on Satan and spiritual warfare, but there might be some questions. And if there's any questions on Ephesians as a whole, you guys might have, you guys can ask those as well. A guide took a group of students out hiking because he wanted them to experience the wilderness, the untamed wilderness, sort of get out there in the wilds and know what it's really like. One of the students raised their hands and asked the guide whether there were any predators kind of higher up in the food chain out there in the wilderness. And the guide said, look, I'm not going to take a group of students out there in that sort of situation. It's a little bit too dangerous. And the student replied, I wouldn't either. But don't trick us into thinking we are experiencing true wilderness, for it's only wilderness if there is something out there that can eat us. And it's true, isn't it? That was a simulation, right? There was no danger for them. But for us, we're actually in the real wilderness. There is real danger for us out there. For Adam and Eve, there was Satan cloaked as a snake. For Jesus, there was Satan lurking around in the deserts and in the wilderness. And for us in this world, there is Satan who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, as Peter says in his letter. Satan and his army of spiritual forces are waging a war against us. And we need to be prepared for this battle. We need to realize we're in this battle, whether we realize it or not. There's no safe place for us to hide. And what Paul is saying is we need to engage in this spiritual battle. And if we're going to do this, we need to be prepared for this battle. And he says there's three things we need to know. We need to know our enemy, we need to know our weapons, and we need to know how to put them on. We need to know these three things to be prepared for the attacks against Satan. So let's dig in. We're looking at we need to know our enemy. And we see this in verses 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Three things we learn about our enemy. Our enemy is spiritual. Satan is the leader of these spiritual forces against us. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's non-violence. It's not bloody. It's not with guns and bombs. And because it's spiritual, sometimes we forget that we're actually involved in this battle because these forces are unseen. They're not seen with our eyes. The battle comes to us when we're sitting in front of the computer screen, when we're riding the train home from work, when we're sitting alone at home, when we're staying back in the office. We're at home with our family. In these moments, Satan comes and attacks us. Our enemy is everywhere in this world, and he's looking for every opportunity to take us down. Our enemy is powerful. Satan and his spiritual forces are extremely powerful. They're described as rulers, authorities, powers, forces. They're more powerful than us. They hold incredible power and influence in this world. Here's some of the ways that they attack us. They can stop believers spreading the gospel. They take our possessions and loved ones away from us. They put believers in prison. They cause us to suffer in this life. They spread false teaching in churches. Satan is powerfully active in this world in opposition to God. Our enemy is cunning, deceitful, sly. He's a master manipulator. He's a strategic genius. His main weapons are lies, accusations, and temptations. His power comes to us in subtle and deceptive ways. He will come to us in our weak moments, when we're struggling and suffering, when we're tired and had enough of life. Satan will come then with a tailored and purposeful temptation just for you. You know when you've had a bad thing happen to you? And then another bad thing happens to you, and then another bad thing happens to you, and you're thinking, I can't take any more bad stuff. You know who turns up? Satan turns up right in that moment in order to tempt us. And he says things like this: is it really worth it? Does God really love you? You deserve better than this. He will use believers in the church to attack us by unfairly criticizing us, putting us down, saying discouraging things, ignoring us in our relationships. And then we'll hear the voices of Satan say, they are right, you know. You don't belong here. You're not a real Christian. Do you remember Peter? How he spoke to Jesus when he said to the disciples that he was going to go to the cross. And Peter said to him, no, the cross isn't fit for a king. The cross is depressing. Don't do that. Think of yourself. And what did Jesus say when he turned around to Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. Satan is full of schemes and plans to try and take us down. Satan is a real, spiritual, powerful, and cunning enemy. Satan is out to destroy the work of God and Jesus and his kingdom. This war isn't about us. It's not about me. This war is between Satan and Jesus, and Satan hates everything that Jesus stands for in his kingdom. And if we're Christians and we're on the side of Jesus, then Satan is going to launch his attacks against us because we're with Jesus and he hates everything on the side of Jesus. Leave us alone. Our temptations are going to go down and say, well, that's all right. Satan's gone now. But actually, when you become a Christian, the temptations increase. They intensify. He targets us as Christians because he wants nothing more than to destroy the work of Jesus and Christians who belong in his kingdom. That's why we need to be prepared for this battle. Only God's armor can help us in this battle. There are 6 spiritual weapons that God gives to us to fight against Satan and his attacks. Every Christian who believes in Jesus has this armor on. We possess it. It is the power and strength of Christ in order to battle against Satan. And we're going to look at each of these weapons and see how we can use them to take our stand against Satan. Firstly, the belt of truth buckled around our waist. This belt of truth is the gospel of our salvation. It's the truth that we believe in, that Jesus is Lord and Savior. It's the truth that saves us and brings us into the kingdom of Jesus. It's the foundation of our Christian life. It's the foundation of the church. It is what we speak to one another to build one another up. It's the truth of God. And we need this truth because Satan's going to come to us with lies and deceptions. Satan's going to come to us and say, Jesus is dead. And we're going to need God's truth and we're going to speak back to Satan and push back against Satan. We're going to say, Jesus is alive. Satan's going to come to us and say, you are at the center of the universe. And we need to say, no, Jesus is at the center of the universe. Satan's going to come and say to us when we're suffering, he's going to say, you're suffering and God doesn't love you. And we need the truth to say, no, look to the cross. God does love me and he will never stop loving me. Satan speaks lies to us every single day. And we need the truth in the gospel in order to fight back against these lies. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. This is the righteousness that is ours in Jesus. It's not our self-righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. This is what Jesus gives to us in the gospel. This righteousness is our right relationship with God, that we're forgiven, that we're adopted, that we're his sons. We stand before God in a right relationship. And this righteousness is our right living and right conduct and right behavior that flows out of the right relationship we have with Jesus. And Jesus has given this to us. Now, some Christians say that the greatest and most powerful weapon of Satan is when he says to us, we are guilty. He comes and accuses us and says, you are guilty and what you deserve is hell. How many of us have ever felt the weight and the burden of guilt when we look at the sin in our hearts and in our lives? But if we look and see the righteousness of Jesus, we can actually disarm the most powerful weapon of Satan. Because when we look to Jesus, what we see is that there is nothing that can take us away from relationship with Jesus, that we stand there forgiven for all eternity and all of time, and there's nothing that Satan can do. Satan's going to come to us and he's going to tempt us with the fruitless deeds of darkness. He's going to tempt us to take it, the desires of this world. And on our own, we will take it. But if we look to Jesus and see his righteousness, we won't want that. Because we'll see that what Jesus is offering us is so much better than what Satan is offering us. Jesus is offering us righteousness. He's offering us light. He's offering us godliness and holiness. When we look to Jesus, his righteousness protects our hearts from the seductions and desires of this world. The righteousness of Jesus gives us the power to do what is right in this life. Thirdly, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to have our gospel shoes on, ready to go proclaim the gospel of peace. This is the peace that brings peace between God and humanity and between us within this church. This is the peace that Jesus came and preached to us. And this is the peace that Jesus sends us out into the world and to preach to the lost. We need to put our gospel shoes on and go out into the dying world and go bring people from death to life in Jesus Christ. Satan wants nothing more than for us to not go out there and preach the gospel and peace and bring people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son. Satan will bring persecution, he will bring opposition, he will bring doubt and fear into our lives to stop us from going and preaching the gospel of peace. But we need to have our shoes on. We need to get the gospel shoes on and be ready to go proclaim peace and to save people and bring them into the kingdom. Fourthly, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is our complete trust, confidence, and dependence on the power of God for victory. If you look at Ephesians and see what faith gives to us, this is what we come up with. By faith we received salvation. By faith we have access to our Father in heaven. By faith we receive all the blessings and power of God. By faith we put on and live the Christian life. By faith we take hold of the promises of God and his power is unleashed into our lives and into our church. And every day Satan lines up his spiritual forces and they've got their bow and arrows with their flaming arrows and they shoot them at us. And these flaming arrows are coming towards us. These flaming arrows are doubt, fear, discouragement, lies, false accusations, temptations. Satan's saying to us, relax, take it easy. You don't need to spend any time with God. You're too important to spend time with God. Go get busy with your work. You don't need God today. Satan comes and says, follow your heart. Pursue your dream. You deserve to be successful and powerful. Satan says, don't go tell the gospel to someone else. Don't go proclaim the gospel of peace. You're going to get persecuted and you're going to be hurt. Satan comes to us and says, don't go show grace to that person in the church. Make them pay for what they have done. And every day, these flaming arrows are coming towards us. And I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea of getting hit by a flaming arrow. That would hurt if we allow ourselves to be hit by Satan's attacks. Man, that would hurt real bad, but God's given us this shield. Faith in his promises and his powers to lift up that shield and to defend ourselves and to be strong against his attacks. Fifthly, take up the helmet of salvation. We need to take hold of our salvation won for us by Jesus. We're saved by grace, not by our works. We are saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's paid for our sins. We are right with God. He's been risen to new life. We have victory over Satan. We have received the forgiveness of our sins, new life in the power of the Spirit, and a guaranteed hope of eternal life. That's our salvation. And Satan wants nothing more for us than to stop trusting in God and to start trusting in ourselves. He wants us to pursue self-righteousness, self-justification, self-glorification. He wants us to doubt God's ability to save us. He wants us to let go of our confidence and our assurance in God's salvation in Jesus. He wants to take away our joy that Jesus has given to us on the cross. Satan, that's what he wants for us. Go pursue your own salvation. Go look after yourself. Put in the effort for your own life. What we've got to do is we've got to look to the cross. Look to where Jesus won our salvation for us. Paid in full, finished, completed, done for, won for us, right there on the cross. Sixthly and lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need the Word of God empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit gives us the Word, gives the Word its power and effectiveness. We use the Word of God to share the gospel. We use the Word of God to bring peace and reconciliation in our relationships. We use the Word of God to build, strengthen, and encourage one another in the church. We use the Word of God to speak the truth in love. We use the Word of God to expose sin and bring healing into people's lives. The Word of God's been given to us as a living, powerful, active Word in order to change and transform people's lives. Satan wants nothing more than for us to come here and talk about the weather, how cold it is. Satan wants us to go to church and go to Bible study and fill our minds with everything else going in our life bar what we are listening to from God's Word and from one another. Satan wants us to come here and to spread discouragement and gossip and lies. Satan would love it if all we did was to come to church and criticize, complain, and compete with each other. Satan wants us talking about anything else. He wants the words that come out of our mouth be anything else but the Word of God. But God's given us the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God to take in our hands and to speak the Word of God into each other's lives, to let the Word of God penetrate deep into our hearts, to infiltrate everything that we do so that we can be strong in Jesus against his attacks. So God's given us six powerful spiritual weapons to take up our attack against Satan. The way to use these weapons is through prayer. Prayer activates, engages, and empowers these weapons. Prayer is not one of the spiritual weapons, but it's foundational to actually using and wielding these weapons. And we see this in verses 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The vision of prayer that Paul gives to us is very different to how we pray. Paul's praying in all circumstances and in all situations in our lives. This is praying constantly and faithfully, persevering in all circumstances. This is praying for all believers in the body of Christ, not just for myself, not just for people in my Bible study group, not just for the people in this church, but for believers in the body of Christ in the world. All situations, all the time, all believers. This is the vision that Paul gives to us. And if we're honest, this isn't how we pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our own situations. We pray for a few minutes a day. We pray when we have the energy and time. We pray when we feel like it. We pray for a few of our friends. We pray for trivial things. Our prayer lives don't even match the vision of prayer that Paul outlines for us. But if we're not praying like this, if we're not praying this kind of intense, faithful, longing, laborious prayer life each and every day, then we are going to lose the battle. We are going to get hurt. We are going to get seriously injured by Satan. And Jesus has given us the Spirit. He says, pray in the Spirit. We've got the Spirit. We've got the Spirit to be able to pray like this. Satan's got his strategies to keep us from praying. He's going to come to us and he's going to say to us, don't seek. Don't knock. Don't depend on God. You can do it on your own. You're strong enough. You're fine. Satan loves it when we rely on ourselves. Satan loves it when we go in the Christian life on our own without praying to Jesus. That's exactly what he wants for us to do. Satan's not scared when we don't pray. He's not scared of us when we don't pray because we don't have the power of Jesus. He knows that he's stronger than us when we don't pray. But when we pray, Satan gets scared. Satan gets scared when we pray because he knows he can't beat us. He can't overcome us because we have the power of God in us, working in our lives. And when he knows we're praying, he runs away from us because he's not stronger than God. Jesus has given us the Spirit so that we can pray in the Spirit all circumstances, all situations, all the time for all believers. Now we need to finish by looking at Jesus. It's what we do here at Elwood Anglican. We keep looking to Jesus. And what we need to see is that Jesus has already won the battle. It's been done with. It's over. It's finished. Jesus has won. Kate's going to put up the verse in Colossians, which outlines the great victory of Jesus over Satan. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. What a great victory Jesus has won for us. Satan tempted us to sin. Satan accuses us of guilt. And Satan lies to us about Jesus. But the work of Jesus on the cross has completely destroyed the work of Satan. Jesus took the penalty for our sin on the cross. Jesus broke the power of guilt and declares us not guilty forever. And Jesus speaks the truth of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus has done for us. The victory is ours. And when we believed in Jesus, we were for all time taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus. We are there, never to be taken out of that kingdom ever again. And so what we're involved in is the battle. Is that we fight from the victory of Jesus against the defeated kingdom of Satan. We're not fighting in order to win the battle. The battle's already been won by Jesus. We fight from the victory of Jesus on the cross towards Satan, advancing against his kingdom and winning for Jesus Christ. We create two problems when we take our eyes off Jesus. The first problem is that we can feel overwhelmed by the spiritual forces against us. I remember running a young adult Bible study group on spiritual forces, on Satan, on demons, and all that sort of stuff. And at the end of the Bible study, all the young adults were freaking out about the reality of these spiritual forces that are out to get us each and every day. And it's like, you don't need to be scared and overwhelmed. That's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. But when you look to Jesus, what do you see? Jesus is the Lord. He's in the highest position in the universe. He's our victor. His power's at work in our life. And so we no longer need to fear and be scared, but we're actually emboldened with courage and faith in order to fight against Satan and his forces. The second problem is we can feel under-resourced in order to fight against Satan. We think, I don't have the resources in order to do this. I don't have the strength in order to take on Satan and his spiritual forces. And so what we end up doing is we give up. We don't fight. We sleep in. We don't put in our armor. And so each day goes on and we're not even in the battle. We leave it for others to do. And when that happens, we're not advancing the kingdom of God because we've given up the fights. But what happens when we look to Jesus? We see it's not about us. It's not about my strength. It's not about my wisdom. It's about living from the victory of Jesus and his powers at work in us. And so we can fight every day knowing that Jesus is with us. And he's going to give us victory. And he's going to fight for us each and every day. And so when we look to Jesus, we realize we don't need to be overwhelmed. We're not under-resourced, but we've got everything we need with the armor that he's given to us in order to take our stand against Satan. Paul starts this section in verse 10, and this is where we need to finish. He says this, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in Jesus. What he's saying is, look to Jesus for your strength. See our Lord. See our Savior. See our victor. See our warrior. That's how you fight the battle. It's by looking to Jesus and getting our strength from him and advancing the kingdom in this world. I hope that we are prepared for this battle now and we're able to do it properly by looking to Jesus and getting our strength and resources from him. Amen. That is Spiritual Warfare 101. Doesn't cover everything, but it gives us the basics to know how to fight the battle, how to be in the war. Are there any questions from Ephesians 6 or from any part of Ephesians? Mark. Yep. Yep. I don't think we can be certain. So how can we know that something in our life that is taking place is specifically from Satan, that it's from him directed towards us, and not something else? Yep. I think, and I'm not 100% sure on this answer, I'm still thinking about it, but I think I would say this, that the struggles that we have in this world are against sin that are on our hearts. So there's an internal struggle with sin and our desires. There is a struggle that comes from the world, that is, that we are tempted from the world and its desires and its lusts. And then we have a struggle with Satan. That is, he's an unseen spiritual force being who is the enemy of God. And the Bible says our struggle is against those three things. And I think what we need to see is that they are all in somehow, they're somehow connected together. They are coordinated together. So a struggle involves all of those three things together at the same time, I think. Satan, the world, and sin. And so whenever I have a struggle which is, yes, there's a sin struggle inside, it is also a world struggle and a Satan struggle at the same time. Yep. So I think, generally speaking, it's always going to be like that. Yeah. But I think there will be specific instances that Satan will bring into our lives, or will be specific attacks of Satan that we will bring into our lives. I'm just not too sure whether we can work out specifically if that's from Satan or not. Yeah. And I'm not too sure if the Bible gives us things that we can go, if these things are happening, then you know that. I'm not too sure. I don't know if anyone's got anything else on that. I don't know. But that's what I would say. Yep. Yep.
That's not necessarily from Satan.
Yep.
But Satan will come in at that point, like you said, and try and drag us away from Christ. That's his agenda, is to drag us away
yep.
from Christ.
Yep. Like Paul, suffering the thorn in the flesh, he says that's from Satan. So somehow he knew that specific suffering he was going through was from Satan. But I wouldn't want to say that all suffering we go through is specifically from Satan in that sense. Yeah. Peter.
I'll just speak on a personal experience. Like every time I have plans of, say, evangelism or things, I hear a good sermon, I get pumped up. And then things get derailed, right? The family or something else. And I see it as a satanic attack because something that's good has been derailed.
Yep. 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 Yeah. Yes. So Peter is saying that in Satan's attacks against us and in his temptations against us, God is at work in those circumstances in order to transform and change and strengthen us as Christians. So it is part of God's purpose, part of God's will. God does allow those things to take place. God tells us that, as Ephesians says, satanic attack is going to increase. for being Christians and for being on the side of Jesus, so we should expect it. Our responsibility is put on the armor of God and be strengthened through that, through those attacks. Yeah, yeah. But the important bit is that when that happens, the temptation is to just not turn to Jesus and not get strength from him, and that's the problem if we do that, if we don't rely on Jesus. Yes. Yep. Yeah, so we can't blame Satan for our own sin, for our own fall, for our own mistakes and own disobedience. Satan will tempt us. Satan comes from outside of us. He tempts us knowing what our, you know, sinful condition is, knowing our weaknesses. It is our responsibility to withstand Satan, knowing what the Bible tells us about Satan, that he's real, and that we have responsibility to fight against Satan, to withstand him. And we have that ability. We have it through Jesus and the Spirit given to us in order to withstand the temptations of Satan. So yes, we can't do the, what is it, Hansie Cronier, you know, the South African cricketer, you know, it was Satan's fault. Yeah, we can't do that. Yeah. I mean, he's part of the equation, but we can't palm off all the responsibility to Satan. Yeah, absolutely. Peter. Yes. Yep. So verse 12, if yeah. So in this particular instance, he's drawing attention to a particular struggle, and one of our struggles is against spiritual forces, spiritual enemies. And so he's not denying our struggle, which is internal, which is with the flesh and our sinful hearts. So in Galatians 5, he'll talk about our sinful desires that we struggle, wage war against, battle between the flesh and the spirit. That's an internal struggle. We'll, you know, 1 John 2 talks about the struggle with the world, yeah, which is opposed to God. In this instance, he's drawing our attention to the struggle, which is the unseen struggle of the spiritual forces. Yeah. Yeah. Dave. Yep. I think the day of evil is those days when Satan will come and attack us. Yep. So I don't think it's some future day that we're waiting for. I think it's the daily struggle of temptations against Satan. So when that day comes, when he launches his attack against us, we need to be prepared for that. Yep. It could be any day. Yep. Yep. Ruth. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think you mentioned something which is important, and so there is a paradox in all that God does with us. And so what does it actually look like? It's interesting. I mean, the victory of Jesus, what did the victory of Jesus look like? It looked like weakness, loss, defeat. So Jesus on the cross is the greatest victory there was against Satan. And it looked like an utter shambles. So I think there is a paradox in the Christian warrior that even though we're using the metaphor of warrior, someone who is strong, yet the paradox in the Christian life is that it actually looks like weakness. Actually looks like humility. Because just think about prayer. Prayer is how we fight. And prayer, to the world's eyes, is the weakest possible thing you can do. You praying to God? He's not real. He's an imaginary friend. He has no power. He's not at work in this world. What are you talking about? We've given up God a long time ago. Yet the fight is won in prayer, in weakness, on our knees, day in, day out, persevering in prayer. That's our strength. That's our power. So I think it needs to look like that. Yep. Yes, there is victory as well, right? So when someone becomes a Christian, that is an awesome display of God saving that person. Yeah, so there is a some sense which there is, yes, we're winning, yeah? But that winning in the world's eyes, it doesn't look impressive. It looks weak. It looks weak, you know? Someone's giving up their life of autonomy and giving it over to Jesus as Lord, you know, that looks stupid in the world's eyes. Yeah, so I think it looks like weakness. Yeah. Peter. Yep.
You tend to underestimate your enemy. In any sporting contest, you underestimate your enemy in your own peril. And if they say the battle's already won, you put away the shield.
Yep.
There's no point fighting.
Yep.
And if you tell them yourself, well, they already won, well, they won't hold the point out, they didn't.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that, you know, God has chosen me to be a son, but at the end of the day, is he going to say to every Christian, well done, good and faithful servant? Can we lose?
Yep. Good questions. And I would say, no, we can't lose. So the whole of Ephesians, if this could be the last question, a way of summing up Ephesians, is to live out of what God has made us to be. That is, in everything, in every description of the Christian in the letter to the Ephesians, is all positive and victorious. It is, we are alive, we are the beloved children of God, we are a new creation, we are, you know, we've got new life, we are lights in the world, we are divine warriors. This is who you are. And so the commands that flow out of Ephesians in our life is, be what you already are, live out of the victory already won for us. It's ours, done and accomplished. What we should see is that Satan is a defeated foe. The only problem is that he's not conceded defeat yet. And one day he'll concede defeat, and at the moment we're in the battle where we're advancing the victory that Jesus has already won against an enemy that is, you know, last-ditch efforts, you know, trying to throw his weight around, knowing that the end is going to come. So that's how we kind of need to advance in the kingdom of God. So I think it is, we've got to live out of the victory that Jesus has won for us. And knowing that, yes, husband and wife, again, we need to see that. God's, in some sense, Christ has already made us holy and blameless, hasn't he? In Jesus, and one day what is hidden in Jesus will be a reality. And so again, out of that, we live that now, seeking to do what Jesus has already won for us. So I would be more positive about it rather than, yeah, look to Jesus and we see his victory. Yeah, awesome stuff. Time for wrap up.